All right. Everybody hand out a tract this past week? Anybody hand out a tract this past week? Is there anybody that hasn't passed out a tract at all during the semester here? Anybody that hasn't passed out one tract? No? Okay, good. I'm glad to see that. All right, that's good. At least everybody's passed out one. Okay. Hopefully you've passed out multiple, right? Again, if you're passing out at least one every week, by the time that the class is over, you'll have passed out 12 tracts, right? That means that's 12 people that would not have got an invite or a gospel if you wouldn't have passed them out, right? So those are very, very important things, okay? Who has not shared their testimony yet? Who has not shared their testimony? Miss April, right? You want to share your testimony? Go ahead and just stand up here and kind of you can face them and go ahead and share your testimony.
I'm sorry, but I am going to cry.
It's okay.
Anxiety over never being good enough. I tried to do all the right things, went to church, read my Bible, and for most of my life professed to be a Christian. In 2019, I lost my grandma and a cousin who was younger than I was within 3 months. And it just forced me to confront what I actually believed. And in that case, it was my lack of belief. So I sort of walked away from Christianity as a whole for about 4 years. I left the church that I grew up in and had been a member of for about 10 years. So I grew up as a German Baptist. And I walked away from that. I struggled to even have faith while I was professing to be a Christian. In 2022, my aunt and uncle invited me to First Baptist, and I was really anxious about going, and yet they kept inviting me, come. And I struggled with going consistently, because going by yourself is kind of hard, but I did it, and I know that was completely God. In March of 2023, during Revival Week, I was at home, and I had decided that I was going to attend services the whole week. And on Tuesday evening, in the middle of an anxiety attack, God really spoke to my heart. And I was just listening to a previous revival message from the previous year. And just feeling like there was no hope, I really heard the gospel for the first time. And it fully clicked what Jesus did, what he did for me, how he died for me, how he died for my sins. And that he came to reconcile me through faith in him and through his son. That night, I put my faith and trust in him. I don't deal with the anger like I used to. Anxiety's a whole lot less. Public speaking's still a little bit of a struggle. But well, no, it's fine. Christ works in all of it.
That's right.
My anxiety over coming to church is gone. That is an easy thing now. And because of Jesus, I am free. And I'm just so thankful that God never gave up on me and that he placed people in my life to continue to invite me to come.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's great. That's an awesome testimony. And I know that that wasn't easy to do to get up and share it, but that's great. And April went with us to Uganda earlier this year, and that was definitely a big step too. And so it's just really neat to see how she's been growing things. All right. Who else hasn't shared their testimony? Who else hasn't? All right, Josh, make me go all the way to the back. Get my steps in today. Woo-hoo. Go ahead.
All right. As I grew up from a young age, I grew up going to church, and then after a few years, we kind of stopped going. I remember hearing a lot of the different Bible stories, such as David and Goliath and the stories of Samson and everything, but I was at a young age, and I didn't really understand what a lot of those meant or the deeper meaning to those. As I grew older, we stopped going to church and attending on a regular basis, and I kind of started living for myself. Although I felt remorse about things that I had said or done after the fact, I still felt as though I was a pretty good person. And it wasn't until we came to FBC that I listened to the gospel, and I wasn't a good person. I knew, I felt that conviction. And so a couple years ago, Pastor Scott was here, he asked, he was up at the front, and he said, "Do you know for certain if you're going to heaven or hell?" And that conviction just hit me right then and there, and I knew I wasn't, but I knew I wanted to. So, and that was the night that I gave my life to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Very good. All right. Somebody else who hasn't shared their testimony yet? Who else has? All right. Yes, ma'am. Miss Esther?
I attended church ever since I was in my mother's womb, and growing up, we knew as long as we lived in their household that we would go to church. There was no ifs, ands, and buts. We would go. I was taught right from wrong and to obey the rules and just follow along like a good little girl. And then between 7th and 8th grade, I went to Bible school, which every year we did go to Bible school. And they encouraged us to read our Bibles and take on a challenge that we're going to read our Bibles every day. And then one day during Bible school, I came home after they had been talking about salvation, and I was reading my Bible, and I accepted God as my Savior and asked Him to forgive me of my sins. And at that time, the next day I went back and told my Bible school leader that I had done that. At the time, the church wouldn't allow me to be baptized at the time because they wanted us to wait till we were at least 12 years old before they did it, and we went through a church training, and so I was all anxious to wait for that time. And so after I turned 12, we went through the training for being a Christian and what all that really meant, and we had to go before the elders and tell our testimony to them to get their approval that we could be baptized, and we joined, so I ended up being baptized and joined the church. And then later on, as I got older, there were some times that I had some doubt. And going to the revivals, you hear all these dramatic stories as to people being saved from drugs, alcohol, abuse, and different things like that. And, you know, I thought, you know, I never had anything like that. Maybe I'm not really saved. And I talked to the preacher about it, and he brought out the point that some people have a distinct black and white change in their life, where others have a mild one. And made the example is like if you have a room that's off white and they paint it white, you can see the difference as soon as you walk in the room. So, and just to be thankful that we didn't have to go through all those situations. So, when my youngest son was born, there were some major complications, and I was in the hospital waiting for him. And that's when it hit me how much God loved me and would take care of me. At the point, we didn't know if I was going to make it through, or my son. At the time, I didn't know what he was, but the baby or I was going to make it. But it, I was waiting there, so the night before he was born, I prayed and said, "God, I give you my children. Whether you take me or not, I know that you're in your hands. And you will take care of my family and just save my baby." So the next day, it was Thanksgiving Day. I was laying in bed with my two kids, and I were laying there watching Dumbo on TV, one on each side. And the nurse came in and said, "Are you feeling contractions?" I said, "No." She said, "I think we need to do something." And they said, "But someone's in distress." So set the kids off of Phil, and we headed off down to the surgery. And on the way down there, the nurses said, "Can I do anything for you?" I said, "Pray." They stopped the gurney in the hallway there and prayed with me. And so I was at total peace when I went into to delivery. And when The room was so full with so many doctors and medical people that they had to move me to the main operating room. But there was such commotion going on, I turned and said, don't worry about it. Whatever you do, save my baby. That's the most important thing. If you have to make a choice between the two, save the baby. And the room got quiet. One of the doctors said, did anybody pray? And one of the nurses spoke up and said, yep, we prayed in the hall. He goes, okay, let's go save this baby. And so when I woke up 2 days later, basically, they told me I had a little boy. But through it all, God gave me a total peace. No matter what happened, I was safe in his arms. My children were safe. And it just, from that point on, it was like I never had any doubt, because no matter what's going to happen to me now at this point, I know that God has saved me and I will be with him no matter what. So.
Yeah, very good. Wow. Very good. Amen. And yeah, that's so true. You know, sometimes people think, well, I wasn't saved from drugs or alcohol or any of these, like, what we would consider what the world thinks of as horrible sins, right? The question, or the thing is, we were all horrible sinners. Sin is sin, right? And so, as she said, if you didn't, God didn't save you from that lifestyle, thank God for that, right? You don't have to have that lifestyle to be saved, because we're all sinners and we all need to be saved. Some experience other things that we can be thankful we didn't have to experience. So we thank God for that, right? All right, very good. So let's do a little bit more this evening. Okay, we've got our papers, and I told you today you needed to be ready to explain a verse, right? Yes? Didn't I? Did I not? I was pretty sure I did. I'm pretty sure I did. I think I gave you a verse, and I said I want you to be ready to explain it, right?
You didn't give a verse.
What verse did I give? I said I want you to be familiar with these verses, right? Because I want you to be able to explain them, right? Yeah, these verses here. Yep. Okay. All right. So let me see. Who can, let's see, who can explain, let's just do 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, right? Who wants to explain that one? Just kind of go through, walk me through it. Chase, are you volunteering your mom? Chase is like, get mom. All right. Who wants to volunteer? All right, Miss Anita?
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Christ died. Do I need to read the whole thing and then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, mm-hmm. Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So, we know he died for our sins, and then when it goes on and says, and that he was buried, so he died, and because he was buried and that he rose again on the third day, it is all according to the scriptures, but because he died and rose again, that is how we are able to then have eternal life, because he conquered the grave.
Okay, all right. You really believe that a guy rose from the dead?
I do.
You know that there are people that don't know that Jesus rose from the dead? There are people that don't know that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, we think, well, you know, if you say, well, what do you think about, you know, that's what Easter's all about, you know, the resurrection. To most people, Easter's not about the resurrection. Guess what Easter's about? Candy, eggs, the bunny, right? It's not about the resurrection, okay? So again, when you're explaining a verse, don't just assume that they know that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again 3 days later, right? Don't assume that, okay? Make sure that when you're going through And I know she's just explaining it for the whole class. But I'm just saying, make sure that when you go through, make sure they really understand and know what you're talking about, right? Because there are people that, again, they've heard of Jesus, but they've heard him as a cuss word. They've heard him just as a religious thing, and they have no idea about his death. They have no idea about his resurrection 3 days later. They don't know anything about these things, right? So again, when you're using a verse, you want to make sure that you're explaining it as if somebody had never heard the gospel before, right? You're explaining it as if somebody had never seen a Bible. They've never seen a Bible. They don't know anything about Jesus or anything like that. Because you're going to meet people that don't, okay? So you just can't assume, you know, everybody knows about Jesus, the cross, the burial, the resurrection. There are going to be people that don't, okay? And so in that, right, when you're explaining Jesus died on the cross, right, why did Jesus die on the cross? To pay for our sins, right? So again, you're going to be using these verses to help them explain. You know how we're all sinners and we've all come short of the glory of God. Well, Romans 6:23 says what? The wages of sin is death, right? So hopefully you've already talked a little bit about this if you're getting to this point, right? Because now you're talking about the payment that Christ made for us, okay? So you want to make sure they understand this was the payment, right? This is that death that Jesus took for us. He died on the cross for our sins, okay? Jesus didn't do anything wrong, right? And again, don't just assume people understand that Jesus was perfect, okay? You have to help them understand Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He committed no sin. He didn't deserve to die. He died in our place because we were sinners, right? So he's dying for our sin, okay? And here's the problem. Many times we talk about the death of Christ, right? Jesus died on the cross for our sins, okay? And that's important. But if we don't talk about resurrection, we leave out something very, very important. When we don't talk about the resurrection, what are we leaving out? What is the importance of the resurrection? Michael?
Without the resurrection, there would be no eternal life.
That's right. So if there's no resurrection, there is no life, mm-hmm. right? So what good, and please listen to what I'm saying, what good would it have been for Jesus to die for our sins, but he didn't rise from the grave? Our sins are paid for, but guess what? That's it. There's no eternal life, right? And so that's why it was so vital that he didn't just pay for our sin, but he also rose from the grave. He defeated death. He conquered hell so that he could give life, okay? And that's why we're able to have eternal life. That's why we can know the very moment that we die, that this physical body dies, we will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Our sin has already been paid for, right, when we accepted Christ, right? But when we die physically now, right, that is the importance of the resurrection. Because if Jesus would not have resurrected from the grave, where would we go? Because we have no life. There's no eternal life, okay? So helping them understand that the death of Christ pays for our sin, his resurrection is what now enables him to offer us eternal life to be able to live with him forever, okay? So again, making sure we understand these things, all right? Let's take Romans 10:9. If you have a Bible there, go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, right? Who wants to explain Romans 10, 9? Brian? So read the verse for us.
Okay. Romans 10, 9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Now, again, just quickly, did you notice what was in this verse? Mm-hmm. The resurrection. Right? Again, a lot of times we can focus on the death, the payment for sin, and that's true, that's important. But don't ever forget to talk about the resurrection, right? That's what he says. That and that shall believe in the heart that God hath raised him from the dead, right? So again, that resurrection is vital to salvation. Sorry, go ahead, Brian. Okay, all right. So again, and Brian kind of pointed out something inadvertently, right? A lot of times if you'll read this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, what are people going to say a lot of times?
I don't understand.
What is thou? What is thy? What is thine, right? So again, you've got to go through and explain as if they don't know anything about the Bible, right? I mean, how many of you, when you first started reading the Bible, you understood what thou and thine, what that meant, right? Now, if you've grown up in church for a while, you probably could think back and you're like, I don't know that I ever not knew what that meant, but I'm sure there was a time that somebody had to tell me, right? Because we just, you know, my dad didn't say, Andrew, go get thine coat, you know? He didn't talk like that. He said, go get your coat, right? But obviously growing up in church and things, I can't remember when I didn't understand what thou and thine meant, right? But again, a lot of people, when they read this, they're like, I don't understand what that means, okay? So again, make sure, and Brian pointed that out, this is something personal that you have to do, right? So it's not something that your parents can do for you. It's not something the church can do for you. It's not something grandma and grandpa can do for you, right? This is something personal that you have to do. And notice, where does this have to be done? In your heart, right? Because again, there's a lot of people that have a head knowledge, right? They have a head knowledge of God. They have a head knowledge of Jesus, right? The Muslims believe in Jesus. They believe in Jesus. They believe that he existed, right? They don't deny his existence. They believe that he lived on the earth, okay? The Catholics, the Mormons, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all these people say they believe in Jesus, right? But the problem is, it's not in their heart, it's just in their head, right? And it's a very different Jesus than what we believe in, right? So you've got to make sure as you're going through explaining, you help them to see, hey, the Bible says, if you understand you're a sinner and you're willing to confess that to God, right? If you're willing to confess it to God, not confess it to me, not confess it to a pastor or a priest or whatever, but if you're willing to confess it to God that you're a sinner and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, right? I mean, that's pretty specific what he says there, right? That he raised from the dead, right? Thou shalt be saved. So he says, if you want to know how to be saved, this is how, right? And then, of course, he goes into verse number 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay? Again, it goes back to the heart. It's got to come from the heart. That's one of the reasons why if I'm talking to someone and they do want to get saved, I really, really try not to lead them in a prayer, right? I'm not saying I've never led someone in a prayer before, but I really try not to, because I want it to be their own words. I want it to be from their heart, okay? Now, if somebody just says, I don't know how to pray, I don't know what to say, right? There have been times where I have helped people to pray, okay? But I'm very, very clear with them before I ever do anything. But look, my prayer, my words cannot save you. This has to come from your heart, okay? So I'll try to get them to, you just tell God what's in your heart, right? You understand what we've been looking at. You just tell God, what you're feeling right now, okay? Because we have to understand, there's not a magic prayer that saves somebody. There's no magic prayer, right? There's no magic words. It's not specific words. If you don't pray this prayer, right? I've had people that have prayed, and they didn't say, "Save me from my sins." Well, because they didn't say, "Save me from my sins," does that mean they didn't get saved? No. It's not about the words, right? It's about what's coming from their heart. And obviously, as they're praying, you're going to be able to see if they really understand it. Okay? Now, if they pray and they say something like, "Dear God, help me to be a good person," nah, they're probably not getting it yet, right? And so you're going to be able to see that. But you want to make sure and help them to understand that this is a personal decision that has to come from the heart, right? Of course, verse number 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's pretty simple there. And again, it's for anybody, right? Anybody can do this, right? You don't have to do it in a church. You don't have to do it, with your pastor. I share that with people. I was in a college dorm when I got saved. I was not with a pastor. I was just with another college student when I got saved. So help them to understand those things, right? So let's do something. Who wants to volunteer? I'm not going to tell you what you're volunteering for, but who wants to volunteer? Who wants to volunteer? Somebody that hasn't really volunteered. Let's pick somebody that hasn't really volunteered for anything yet, right? Let me see. Who hasn't really volunteered for anything? Katie? That's fine. She's like, "No." Would you like to volunteer? All right. That's great. Come on up here, Miss Katie. Right? So we've done this a couple times where you were supposed to take a verse, explain it to someone. They were supposed to take a verse, explain it to you, right? We've done that a couple times, all right? So, Miss Katie, when did you get saved?
When I was 7.
When you were 7, okay. I've heard a lot of testimonies, so I couldn't exactly remember when you got saved. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you. Don't be so nervous. You all think that you know what I'm about to ask her. You're like, she's going to have to lead you to the Lord, right? Are you ready to do that?
Sure.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to, all right? So what I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask you to be a lost person.
Okay.
Can you do that? You'll be a lost person? So you don't know that you're saved, right?
Okay.
You don't go to church, right? You're just a lost person. Okay? Can you do that? I'm going to tell your dad you're lost. Okay. All right. So I'm going to try. I think that stopped. We'll have to have somebody splice it together. Anyway, so I'm going to try to share the gospel with you, right? But I'm going to have them direct me how to share the gospel with you. Does that make sense? Okay, because I know not all 40 of these people can share the gospel with you. So I'm going to share the gospel with you, but I'm going to have them telling me what I need to do next. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys understand what we're doing?
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to tell me what I need to do next in sharing the gospel with her, right? And you're going to correct me if I say something wrong.
Will you say something wrong on purpose?
You better be listening, right? Okay, so you're going to have to be listening. You're going to have to correct me if I say something wrong, or if I don't explain a verse right or something, okay? So I want you guys to be listening, and then you're going to tell me what I should do next, right? Mm-hmm. What I should do next, all right? So what is the first thing I need to do?
Smile.
I need to smile. That's true. Hi, Katie. All right. What do I need to do? I need to introduce myself, right? So I'm going to introduce myself. Hi, my name is Andrew. What's your name?
Katie.
Katie, it's nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, Katie. What do I do next?
Tell them where you're from.
Oh, very good. Katie, I'm from First Baptist Church, and we're just out in the neighborhood, and we're inviting people to come to church, and like to give you an invitation to come to church. We're having a special Christmas program coming up, and we'd love to have you and your family come for it. Do you go to church anywhere, Katie?
No.
No? You don't go to church anywhere? No? Okay, well, you know, that's why we're here. We're trying to find folks that may not go to church anywhere, and we'd love to invite you to come to church sometime.
Okay, thanks. I will maybe come.
I'm waiting.
Do you know where you would go?
Can I ask you a question?
Am I supposed to ask something?
No, not you. I'm waiting for them. Yeah. So what was that?
Can I ask you a question you've never been asked before?
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna go with that, right? Katie, do you mind if, could I ask you a question that you have probably never been asked before?
Sure.
Katie, if you were to die today, and let's hope that does not happen, but if you were to die today, do you know for sure if you would go to heaven?
I don't.
You don't? You know, that's a very important thing to know. Do we know when we're going to die? If I was to ask you, Katie, how long do you think you're going to live on this earth? Can you give me an exact number?
I don't know, years, hopefully.
Years, hopefully, right? You hope to be an old lady and have lots of kids and grandkids and all that, right? Now, again, that kind of be funny, but as for a young lady, that's something that is they're thinking about, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to
build a rapport,
build a relationship here, right? And so I'm asking her, does she know this? She says no, right? Katie, would you have a minute that I could take the Word of God and show you how you could know for sure that when you die, you could go to heaven?
I think so.
Would you like to know that?
Sure.
All right. Where do I go?
Not your phone.
What?
Don't open your phone.
Very good. Very good. Right? What's that?
The Bible.
This Bible? The little Bible? This one? Well, I don't have that on me right now. I don't. This is like, can you read that? It's like, I need a magnifying glass for that one. We'll go with this one. All right. So what do I need to do? Where am I going to start? Rome. I've heard a couple things. Romans 3:23. I'm actually going to start in Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, right? So Katie, the Bible says here in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, right? Katie, do you understand what the word righteous means?
Good.
Okay. So God says there is none righteous or none good. There's nobody that's good, no, not one, right? So God says there's nobody that's good. Nobody's righteous. In fact, actually, down here in verse number 12, he says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Do you understand what that means, Katie?
Not really.
You're not correcting me. What did I just ask her?
Do you know what that means?
I asked her a yes or no question. Do you know what that means, right? Now, thankfully, she said, no, I don't. But what if she would have said yes? Do I just go on? No, I've still got to explain it, right? So that's why you want to be careful not to just ask yes or no questions. You're not listening, right? You got to pay attention, right? So, Katie, do you understand? You know what that verse means?
No yes or no questions.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. Very good, right? Okay, you don't know what that means. So again, God says here that there's nobody that is good. Now, Katie, would you consider yourself a good person?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you consider yourself a good person? You never killed anybody. That's good. I'm glad to hear that, right? What else? Why else would you consider yourself a good person?
I mean, I don't think I've done anything too wrong, and I try to follow rules.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. You know, it's obviously important that we follow rules and things, and we try to live a good life, because, you know, obviously trying to be a good person, that's pretty important, especially in our society that we live in. You know, we look at other people and we think, boy, those people, maybe they're not really good, right? Like you said, you haven't murdered anybody, and I'm glad for that. You know, we look at a murder and we think, man, that's a bad person, right? Somebody that's murdered somebody. What else would we say would be something really bad?
Like stealing?
Stealing, right? We would think, you know, somebody that's stealing or something like that, that's pretty bad. But Katie, let me ask you a question. Have you ever told a lie?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, everybody's told a lie, right? There are some yes or no questions you can ask. Hold on, right? If I'm going to follow up with it, right? Somebody, good grief, right? So, yeah, Katie, we've all told a lie, right? Everybody's told a lie. I've told a lie. You've told a lie. Have you ever stolen anything? Maybe not. Maybe you didn't rob a bank, but have you ever stolen anything? Maybe small. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've all stolen small things, right? Hopefully you haven't robbed a bank. I haven't seen your picture in the post office with America's Most Wanted or anything like that. Now, why would I say something like that? Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna say something to kind of get her to laugh, to kind of put her at ease, right? Because I don't want it to be just a whole serious, you know, she's learning something new and it's all serious. I want to try to get her to be at ease, right? So I will say something like that. I'm glad that your picture is not on America's Most Wanted or something, you know, because I want her to kind of be at ease with what we're talking about, okay? So, you know, Katie, but the Bible says here that there's nobody that's good. So we've lied. I've lied. You've lied. We've stolen. But God says there's nobody good. And do you know why God says there's nobody that's good?
I don't know.
The reason why is because when we think we're good, we're comparing ourselves to everybody else, right? We're comparing ourselves to really bad people. But then we would also say there's probably people that are better than us, right? People that maybe give to the poor or they help people across the street, we'd say they're better than us. They're good people. But God says there's no one good, and the reason why is because I can't compare myself to you. You can't compare yourself to me or anybody else. We have to compare ourselves to God. Now, Katie, do you think God has ever done anything wrong?
I don't know. Maybe something.
Oh, that's interesting. What did she say? She said, I don't know. Maybe he has done something wrong, right? Because again, they're going to say, well, you know, God's never done anything wrong.
No.
If there's people that may not believe in God, you know, that's, you got to be ready for that, right? That was very good. You're thinking, that's good, right? Katie, do you believe in God?
I think so.
You think so? Do you believe that there's a creator, somebody made all of this? Now, I know a lot of times people will talk about like evolution and we evolved from all this kind of millions and millions of years. But, you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that God created everything. I mean, you just look at the world and you can see that there's a designer in it. And that was God. And God created all of this for us because he loves us. And he wants us, he created us to be with him. And God made all of this for us so that we could be with him. But you know what happened? When God made Adam and Eve, God put them in what was called the Garden of Eden. And this was a beautiful place. You ever heard of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden?
I think maybe a long time ago.
Yeah. So God made Adam and Eve. They were the first two people. And he made this beautiful place called the Garden of Eden. And he put them in the Garden of Eden. And there was no sin. There was no diseases. There's nothing bad in it. It was all perfect and beautiful. But God told them one thing. God said, in the Garden of Eden, you can eat of all the different trees that are in the Garden of Eden, except for one. There's only one tree God says you're not allowed to eat from, and that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, all the other trees, and I can't imagine how many trees were there, but there were a lot. But God said, of this one tree, you can't eat.
Okay.
You know what Adam and Eve did?
They
ate from that tree. Mm-hmm. They disobeyed God. And you know what happened? Because they disobeyed God, God said they were going to have to die. In fact, God told them before they even thought about eating from that tree, God said, don't eat from that tree because if you do, you'll die. Now, we would think eating a piece of fruit, that's not something to die over, is it?
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I mean, we think, you know, murdering someone, that would be something to die over, or stealing, right? That'd be something, but just to eat a piece of fruit? But it wasn't just about the piece of fruit. You know what it was? They disobeyed God. So what am I doing here?
Showing her that.
Emily, what am I doing? I'm not asking questions. I'm asking, what am I doing here? Hold on. What am I doing here? I'm preaching. What am I doing? I'm explaining, going all the way back, explaining how we're all sinners,
correct,
where this all came from. And I'm helping her to understand why this broken relationship between God.
Right.
Because she's not even sure if God's done anything wrong or not.
Right.
Right? So I want to help her to see God is perfect and it's we who have sinned against God. Right? Okay, Brian?
So shouldn't, if someone's like never heard about the Bible and stuff, they would know sort of
Yes, but I have limited time. Yes. I have like 5 minutes left. But yes, normally I would go back to the book of Genesis and I would show them. Yes, which is good, right? I just, in class, I just don't have a lot of time. Yeah, Josh?
You did go ahead and mention there was no sin in the world, but that's the first time it came up in this conversation so far. So, I mean, is that a question that should have been proposed already? If she understands what sin is?
Well, that's what I was asking her, like if she thinks she's good and all of that, trying to help her understand what's good and bad. Because now I'm going back and I'm going to help her to see just disobedience is sin, which is where I'm going with this right now, right? So I'm helping her see it wasn't just eating the fruit, it was the disobedience, right? So I'm getting ready to tell her that anything that we do against God is sin, right? Okay?
Yes.
Does somebody else have anything? Okay. So, Katie, because God told Adam and Eve not to eat from that tree, and they did it, they disobeyed God, right? Katie, do you know what sin is? Mm-mm. That's exactly what sin is. Sin is disobeying God. Why would we say murder is bad?
Well, the government says so.
That's true. The government says so. Do you know where the government got that from? Mm-mm. From the Bible. God says we're not to murder anybody. Do you know why we would say that stealing is bad or it's sin?
Why?
Because God says we're not supposed to steal. Do you know why we would say lying is bad or it's sin?
Because God said we're not supposed to
lie. That's right. God has told us all these things. And when we disobey God, we're doing the same thing that Adam and Eve did in the garden just by eating that piece of fruit. We're disobeying God. And just like God told them, there's a consequence. If they disobeyed, what was the consequence going to be?
Death.
And you know, God says that's the very same thing for us when we disobey God. He says here in Romans chapter 6, or in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Katie, God says every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us is a sinner. And because of our sin, we can't enter into the presence of God because God is perfect. God has never done anything wrong. God is absolutely perfect. Everything that He has done, everything that He has said is perfect and right. And that's why God says we are sinners, because we can't be perfect. And that's why He says, because of our sin, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, He says, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, Katie, I'm going to tell you some really bad news right now. You ready for some bad news? God says, because of our sin, your sin and my sin, and the sin, we deserve to die.
Really?
Really. And Katie, I wish I had more time, but I'm out of time in class. But next time we might figure out that might be some good news, right? Yeah. I just left her hanging. Bad news, we're all going to die, right? You can have a seat, Katie.
Not
right?
Yeah,
I know, right?
So she died tonight regardless of you tied her to God.
So again, obviously, oh yeah, thank you. You can give me that back. So obviously, again, I'm not going to stop there with somebody, but because of time, I don't have time to keep going. But I'm wanting her to see, again, going through the gospel, and she brought up some great things, right? A lot of times we just think that somebody's going to be like, yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah, I deserve to die and go to hell. And there could be somebody like that. But a lot of times you are going to have to explain something, right? And that's why it's good to, again, you've got to know some of these passages of Scripture. You don't have to have them memorized, but you can know where they're at. Again, the thing that's so important is to be able to go back to the beginning. Where did sin come from, right? Sin came from Adam and Eve,
yeah.
Right? God created a perfect a garden, put Adam and Eve in there, but they sinned and didn't get a chance to get to this. But now because of their sin, now we're all sinners, okay? So again, go through the verses and things, be familiar with them. And then, let's see, next week. Yeah. Next week we have class. We only have three more classes, by the way. But next week we have class. The week after we don't, because it's missions conference, but after missions conference, we'll have two more classes. Okay. So I want you to be familiar with the verses. I want you to be familiar with how to use this, because the 2 weeks after missions conference, we're going to use leading people to the Lord, okay? Going through the plan of salvation, okay? And you're going to do it, okay? We'll break up into groups and we'll kind of just disperse around the auditorium, and you're going to go through the plan of salvation with somebody. And they're going to be lost. And just like Katie did tonight, they'll make up something as they go along, right? And, you know, we're going to make sure that people aren't crazy about it, right? But you're going to have to think through some of these things of what you would tell to somebody if they're lost, because we have no idea what they're going to say, right? Okay, very good. Class dismissed. Make sure you take a track. Give a track out this week.